turning our attention over to something that's maybe not so good is over apologizing. And I find myself doing this all the time. Richie, do you ever like, you know, when you're like coming out of a door and you're just walking, you have the right of way, mm-hmm. and you almost kind of bump into somebody, maybe they were rushing or something. Do you ever just automatically, just from your gut, go, oh, sorry, I'm sorry, sorry.
Yeah, no, I am definitely an I'm sorry guy. And there are many times when, like, I walk away from a situation like what you just spoke of or something like that, and I just want to turn around and go, I'm actually not sorry.
I know, it's such a weird
thing. I wish I wouldn't have apologized for that thing I just didn't do. I'm not, it's, you know, there's not... I don't need to apologize in that particular situation.
I do this at restaurants, too. I'll say, like, oh, I didn't order this.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I really wanted this. And they'll, you know, the waiter will say, oh, yeah, of course. Let me take it back. And then I'll say, oh, sorry. Sorry. That's, you know, and I just think, why am I, why do I keep saying sorry? I'm not the only one, right? If anybody inconveniences
I hope
you.
I hope we're not the only
ones. I know. You know, you may be guilty of over-apologizing. Maybe you've never thought about it before. And while apologizing isn't necessarily a bad thing, it's important, I think, to recognize when your apology is being said out of habit and when it's necessary for really resolving a real offense. So we thought it would be interesting to invite Donna Moriarty, author of Not Just Words, How a Good Apology Makes You Braver, Bolder, and a Better at Life, to talk about how to stop over-apologizing and maybe, you know, change the way that we see it. Welcome, Donna.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It's wonderful to be with you today.
So why is over-apologizing even a problem? Is it really that bad?
It's not really that bad, especially if you're going to compare it to other forms of impolite or rude behavior or even to someone who refuses to apologize.
Sure.
But when we apologize repeatedly, we come across as insincere. It's almost like we're apologizing for taking up space. It erodes our own confidence, and it actually erodes the confidence that others have in us. So in that sense, it can be harmful.
Right. Okay. So what causes people then to get into this habit of over-apologizing?
Well, I think for a lot of people, it starts with just trying to be polite. You know, we want to be considerate of others, and we'll quickly apologize if we've made a mistake or even if we've let a door slam in someone's face or, you know, some of those kind of little things that happen. But sometimes what we're doing is we're apologizing to sort of deflect what we expect is a negative reaction to what we're saying. So that idea might be, well, I'm sorry for interrupting, but your door was open. And that starts to venture into this place where you're already trying to soothe ruffled feathers, even though they haven't gotten ruffled yet. So,
Like you're anticipating it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think anticipating is something. And I think also, you know, when we do apologize sincerely and it sort of takes the heat off, we, you know, we'll say, we'll make a mistake, we'll apologize. The other person kind of backs down and calms down. And we think we've found a magic bullet. But the more we use it and the more we come to rely on it, it becomes more of a nervous habit.
Interesting.
But there are built within our culture or certainly within the way that we interact with each other, there are times that we have just built into what we say, I'm sorry, and then we launch into those things. So how can we change this? This seems almost innate.
Right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, like I used to say, I'm sorry, but I disagree.
Right.
Like,
or I'm sorry,
it's
I was
okay
just trying to
disagree.
Do something nice. Right.
Right. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, it's almost reflexive. It goes back to this desire to be polite. I think that many people will almost universally apologize when they start to tear up. You just see, you know, people apologize for crying. But when it's something that, you know, like having feelings or having an opinion, something over which we have no control, like fainting or crying,
right.
You know, it's almost reflexive and it's really hard to kind of control that sort of a response. I think it's really important for us to look at our behavior when it's that kind of using it as a shield against possible discomfort in another person and conveying those feelings that, well, I'm not being sincere, or I'm afraid of you, or I don't think I'm good enough to ask for what I want, or if you won't give me what I want if I'm not super nice, you know? It's like
right.
These are the things that start to go through our minds when we use this as a as a habit.
We're talking with Donna Moriarty about over-apologizing. It seems to me, too, that this is so embedded just in our culture and who we are, especially, I think, for women, right? Because when you're talking about how we want to soften the blow, or if we're asking for something that we feel like is a big ask, and we think, well, we just need to do it in a nice way, or we're just trying to be polite, that kind of thing. What are some practical things that we can do to break ourselves of this habit, just, you know, to instill that kind of confidence, not only in ourselves, but in how other people see us?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question. Well, you know, this really does take practice. And I had to actually write out a few responses when I was seeing myself do this when I worked in corporate. But so, for example, you know, I would say to my team, you know, sorry, guys, but we're going to have to work late tonight. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying that, you know, the idea is really just state the problem, how you're going to fix it, if that's relevant, you know, and that just kind of state the facts. So I would say, okay, guys, we're in a crunch. I need this by the end of the day. Do you have what you need to get started? So that is, I mean, I have to kind of practice that.
Right.
But it doesn't require an apology to tell your team that they have to work late. Even if you feel bad, you can just sort of
Give
them the instructions that they need. And then, you know, I think that's more of a leadership thing. If somebody said that to me, I kind of feel better about working late. So
it would be something.
That would be one example.
If I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, so like in that scenario, it would be like, well, we're going to have to work late. I anticipate all of us kind of coming together. And do you have everything that you need so that we can all work together and get this job done and then also subsequently be able to leave as soon as possible? Something like that?
That might be, yeah. I mean, I think it's up to each individual to determine how much to say. I think sometimes the less said, the better. If what you're trying to do is to overcome a desire to apologize, then kind of the less said, the better. So, like, here's another example where you might actually need to say, someone has to reschedule a meeting several times. If it's beyond your control, the temptation to apologize is very strong.
So strong.
To acknowledge that and say, look, I know I've had to reschedule this meeting several times. Thank you for understanding.
Yeah.
Thank you for understanding. I like that.
Yeah.
I've started recently trying to say, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. And if somebody has to wait because of situation or, you know, outside of my control, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry. I know I said I was, you know.
Yeah.
But I wonder, too, if this is something that then that becomes the kind of the new apology. Like, thank you for this. Thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you for your understanding. Yeah. I have seen a little bit of that. And so, you know, really it's being responsive to a person and to being confident within one's own self. And often our language will reflect our lack of confidence. So it's really just a way that we want to build ourselves up a little bit before entering into these situations where we see that we're doing this all the time.
So on the flip side of that, then hopefully apologies and sincere apologies will feel or carry more weight, right? So how do we know
certainly.
When we really do need to apologize?
Well, honestly, I think everybody kind of knows when they've done something that caused harm to another person. We don't always want to admit the need to apologize. A friend of mine used to call it that uh-oh feeling in your tummy. This is what she used to tell her kids. Watch for that uh-oh feeling. And, you know, everybody really is familiar with that feeling. It might be guilt or shame or remorse, and it usually means we've done something that either caused, you know, harm or even inconvenience to another person, and then we should probably apologize for it. So if I see myself wanting to avoid someone, or there's a running tape in my head rationalizing what I've done, then I probably owe an apology, and I'm not going to feel right until I do it.
We're talking with Donna Moriarty about apologies and about over-apologizing, and you have written a book, How a Good Apology Makes You Braver, Bolder, and Better at Life. So my question is, did you really need to apologize to someone, or how come you have written this book about apologies?
Well, it's funny. I started out thinking that because I have three grown children, and I got the idea for this book when they were all in their 20s, and we would interact with them and their friends a lot, and I noticed that they were pretty good at manners and apology, but their friends weren't always. So the idea was, well, you know, what happens as we're growing up and as we're raising our children, you know, are we really modeling the right behavior? But I had for a number of years been looking at my own behavior with regard to apology, because many of these lessons I learned just from making mistakes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it just seemed like a subject that hadn't been addressed enough. So I started really thinking it all through, and that's how the book came about.
Wow. An apology expert. Well, I'm sorry, Donna, but our time. Oh, no, I'm not sorry. We are thankful for the time that we had to be able to be with you this morning. Her book, How a Good Apology Makes You a Braver, Bolder, and Better at Life. You can order it or check out more of her writing on relationships by going to DonnaMoriarty.com.